2 Timothy 2. I see what time it is. I'm going to preach fast. You listen fast. We'll get out of here fast. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's stand to read God's Word today. I'm just going to read a couple verses here. That's not an air raid. We're cool. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. These are my life verses as a preacher. The Bible says to turn that off. Sounds like when I'm making bread at the house, my poor mixer. All right, here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now, Lord God. I pray you'd help us today. Thank you for America. Thank you for what it means to us. And Lord God, I pray you'd help us to be careful that we do not tread on the things that men have given their life for. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I think of the grieving moms and dads today who are their child has passed away on battlefields. Some never brought home. Some brought home. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would honor them today and tomorrow, this weekend, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Memorial Day is a day to remember all American soldiers who have given their lives so that we can be free. There are special ways they tell us that we can celebrate Memorial Day. One, by visiting the cemeteries and placing flags or flowers on the grave of our fallen heroes. By visiting war memorials. By flying the U.S. flag at half staff until noon. Flying the POW/MIA flag. By participating in the national moment of remembrance at 3 o'clock and pause to think of the true meaning of this day, for taps to be played, by renewing a pledge to aid the widows and the widowers and the orphans of our fallen dead and to aid our disabled veterans. Today, the United States has engaged the enemy of peace and freedom. And have many of our boys and girl soldiers are fighting for freedom in many faraway places. Take him out if he can't sit up. The name of these places are getting a little more too familiar than we would like. Afghanistan, Kuwait, Kabul, Iraq, Baghdad, Basra, Mosul, Kabbalah. We speak freely of ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Sunni Arab militants and the Shiite militants. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be a soldier, you got to be very brave. And he must be willing to fight and many times even have to die to protect our as well as our neighbor's freedom. Just outside our nation's capital in Arlington, Virginia, there's a very special place. It is a cemetery where many, many soldiers' bodies are buried. If you go there, you will see thousands of white crosses marking the grave of these brave men and women. If you go to the Philippines, as I've had many times, and every time I'm there, I go to their national cemetery there are thousands and thousands of U.S. soldiers buried there. Take them out. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty serious about this stuff. Sometimes, though a soldier falls in battle, no one knows his or her name. At the Arlington National Cemetery, there's a special grave in remembrance of these great men and women who died for our country, whose names we do not know. It is called the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, with this inscription: "Here rest in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." This is a very beautiful monument made out of white marble with large white building behind it. There's a special elite soldiers who are chosen to guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier's remains. The tomb has been guarded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, since July 2nd, 1937. It is a great honor for a soldier to be called to guard this tomb. These soldiers take their posts very seriously. They spend 8 hours getting their uniform ready every day. 8 hours. Every day. They get a haircut every other day. While they are assigned to guard the tomb. These soldiers want to be the best. They want to look the best while guarding this tomb. Because the memory of the unknown soldiers who have died to protect our freedom did their best for all Americans. These soldiers died so that we can be free. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is the most important monument of the United States of America. I want you to turn your thoughts to the Christian. To the Christian, there's another tomb that even more important to us. It is the tomb of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This tomb is located just outside the city of Jerusalem. But ladies and gentlemen, it is unoccupied. It is empty. It is close to the hill called Mount Calvary. It is called the Tomb of the Unknown. It is called, and it could be called, the Tomb of the Well-Known Soldier, because it once held the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. She needs to go out. Just help her, please. Today is a tomb not guarded by elite 24-hour a day without hesitation, because no one lays there. The soldier Jesus only laid there 3 days and three nights, and after 3 days and three nights, the soldier Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible without hesitation tells us that Jesus Christ is in heaven today, preparing a home for us to live someday. Jesus Christ is the most important soldier that ever lived. He is the Son of God. Before he ever lived on earth, he lived with the Heavenly Father forever. He came to this earth knowing that one day he would die and pay for the sins of the whole world. Even when he lived here on this earth as a little boy, he was perfect. He never did anything wrong. He never disobeyed his mommy or his stepdad. He never fought with his stepbrothers and sisters. He never fought with his friends. He never told a lie. Yet he chose to die on the cross to pray for our sins, so that if we trust in him as our Savior, our sins would be forgiven and we can go to heaven. There's a number of accounts in the Bible of soldiers and warriors. I love soldiers. I love warriors. I love real men. And there's a special account of military man in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5 through 10. He's called a centurion. He's a Roman soldier who commanded 100 men under him. A man has lots and lots of servants. And he was a good man, and he had even helped the people in Capernaum to build a synagogue to the Jewish faith. The city leaders told Jesus that this centurion had a soldier who was very sick and he was about to die. It was the centurion's favorite servant. Therefore, Jesus prepared to go to the centurion's house, but one of the centurion's friends came and stopped him. And the centurion knows what a great man you are, And he knows that you have the power of God. He does not feel worthy for you to come to his house, for you're such a great man. The centurion knows that if you want to heal that servant, all you have to do is speak the word. There's something about you military guys. I love pastoring Heritage Baptist Church. I mean, I pastored other churches, but this is the cat's meow. This is the cherry on top of the whipped cream. I get to rub shoulders with men and women that love America, that stood up and raised their right hand and promised to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. Men and women who serve and at the drop of a hat will die for their country. You can't get better people than that. And the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with a man who was a centurion. In fact, he never even dealt with him. He just said, hey, you just tell it. All you have to do is speak the word. I'm not worthy you come to my house. And this is what Jesus said about that soldier. And I think the Lord Jesus Christ can say that about you men and women. I tell you that there is not found anyone with much faith as this centurion has. He has more faith than anyone else I have ever met in Israel. That's a pretty powerful thing. When the centurion friend returned to his house, he found that the servant was well again. Jesus had healed that servant without even going to the centurion house. You know what? We need to have faith in Jesus just like the centurion did. Jesus said, I will save you. Have the faith. Just believe. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. God says, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Faith. Do you have that faith this morning? Do you have? You say, well, preacher, my faith is puny. Hey, a little bit of faith is better than no faith, amen? The Bible said, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose on the third day, and you ask him to forgive your sins and you ask him to come in your heart, he will. God is not a liar. He would that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. God wants all you boys and girls to get saved. God wants all you boys and girls to know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. There's troubles going to come. There's heartaches going to come. There's going to be things that are going to happen in your life. But if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, what a difference that makes. What a difference that makes. On Memorial Day, we should be thankful also and grateful for another group of people. The soldiers who are in this moment fighting and dying so that we Americans can be free. You say, but preacher, you send people over. Hey, you know what? It's sure nice they're over there fighting than over here fighting. We don't like what happened to Texas. We don't like what happened to Oklahoma. We don't like what happened over at the Baltimore. We don't like that. That's why our men and women sacrificed their lives, and the daddies and mamas and the children and the spouses that allow them to go so we can have freedom. Why don't you take a minute today or tomorrow and thank God for a soldier? Why don't you just come up to some? I was in the airport the other day, and I walked up to a couple guys in Salt Lake City, and I said, hey, I said, you're Air Force. And they said, yeah. I said, I want to thank you for serving. I said, where are you headed? I said, Hope, Great Falls. And one guy said, hey, I'm just going to be signed in Great Falls. Another guy said, I'm going to F.E. Warren. I said, man, hey. And I gave him a card. He said, hey, I'll come by. I thank God for the military. Every time I see one of you guys in the military, I shake your hand. I thank you for serving. I really do. I think that it's no more than right we be thankful for those men and women who've given their life to serve our country. You can also decide to give honor to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by receiving Him as your personal Savior. Give honor to Him by being faithful in your service to Jesus Christ as a soldier in the service of our country. As I was reading that about the tomb of the unknown soldier, it said that this soldier spent how many hours with his uniform? 8 hours! Every day! Now I know some of you kids spend 8 hours just finding your clothes. Especially that one sock you can't find. 8 hours! Why? So they would come and present themselves of not embarrassment for the tomb. I wonder how many Christians come to church and spend 8 hours making sure their wardrobe is just right to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the tomb of the unknown soldier important? Absolutely. Absolutely. Without question. But the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we worship today, who we honor today, our sign as a church really is not the cross, it's the open tomb. We need to honor the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to give ourselves completely to Him. I pray that this morning you would understand your great responsibility to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know. I watch you men. I watch you in your uniforms. And I see how proud you are to wear them. I thank God for you. I thank God for some of you little boys and little girls that someday are going to grow up and go to the military. Thank God for that. We need some Christians in the military. I was talking to a man that went to Desert Storm. Good friend of mine, the sergeant, master sergeant. He came home and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I was in logistics in Desert Storm. My place that I slept was one place next to General Schwarzkopf. Every morning I got up, he was already gone, but on his bed was an open Bible." He said, "That changed my life completely. For if a general had time to read his Bible, I guess a master sergeant does too." There are men in our country and ladies in our country that love this Word of God. You hear some people that are saying bad things about our Bible. And you hear some people saying bad things about our God. You hear people talking about how that our military is weak. Just turn us loose. Turn the keys. Glass parking lot. Amen. Don't give me that baloney. We are still the most powerful country in the world. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason we're powerful is this right here. The Word of God. God has blessed us. God still blesses us because we are the country, the largest country to send out missionaries to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to stay firm on that. Every time you see that flag, you put your hand over your heart. You sing as loud as you can the Star Spangled Banner. You quote the Pledge of Allegiance and the flag as loud as you can. And be proud that you are an American. And secondly, but most of all, you thank God that Jesus Christ, the greatest, lives in your heart, in your life. He wants to have you to be safe and free. Oh, God, help us to understand how that the Lord loves us. Father, I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord God, to understand that there is a God in heaven that loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross, who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Lord, we look up here to this monument, and we think of those who gave the sacrifice of life for our freedom. But then we think of the Almighty God who gave his Son for the ultimate sacrifice of life everlasting. Lord, I pray if be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, the day would be their day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I'd like to pray for you today. I'd like to pray that you would ask Jesus to be your Savior. Father, I pray you'd be of these who do not know you as their Savior, that today would be the day they'd trust you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to go to heaven someday. I want Jesus to be my Savior." In a moment, I'm going to ask the pianist to play. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Let's all stand right now. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'd like to know that. Why don't you come at this time? Let me meet you up front. Come on."
God, I pray you help us to be faithful to you.